VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America, though we have a very unpleasant issue once again to talk about today on the program. The duties of a watchman are such that it does not revel when a warning has to be given out regarding what, you know, the danger that is approaching. And sometimes it is very overbearing to hear the number of stories that are taking place and matters that are going on, especially under this so-called Pride Month. I would like to advise that if you do have young ears near the radio, that you would want to occupy them in some other matter. We're going to talk about things. We will seek not to be graphic, but certainly to inform you where we are at in our society. This has been a so-called Pride Month like none other. The massive outdoor event at the White House with transgender toplessness, the open flaunting of sexuality and nudity in streets across America. I mean, the wanton brazenness that has been observed throughout our nation. And friends, it is only going to get worse. The unfolding that has taken place this month, we have seen like never, ever before in our nation. You see, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But if you were breathing a sigh of relief, and I'm looking right now at a commentary that is coming out from Western Journal. If you were breathing a sigh of relief that Pride Month is almost over, I've got some bad news. Assistant Secretary for Health, Rachel Levine, just extended it into a summer of pride. To kick off the extension, the Department of Health and Human Services has released episode number one of a series called Summer of Pride on YouTube. I'm going to just play the introduction to this.
Hello, my name is Admiral Rachel Levine, and I have the honor of being the Assistant Secretary for Health at the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Happy Pride. Happy Pride Month. And actually, let's declare it a summer of pride. Happy Summer of Pride. It's so important to have pride as a celebration for our LGBTQI+ community and to recognize how far we have come, but also how much work we have left to do.
Hear that, folks? How much work we have left to do. In other words, what you have seen so far in our nation is nothing yet compared to where they want to take this nation. This first episode of Summer of Pride focuses on artist, musician, LGBTQI+ advocate Ryan Quesada and Assistant Secretary for Health, Admiral Rachel Levine. In the video, the YouTube description states that Quesada and Levine talk about transgender health and how important it is for both mental and physical health. But folks, this is not about health. They say our message to the trans community, and especially to trans youth, is that you have president and an administration who supports you. You belong and have a place in our great nation, the description states. In other words, folks, it's propaganda. Levine is a man who claims to be a woman. Quesada, a woman who claims to be a man, focus primarily on the trans movement. And this is episode number one. So if you thought Pride Month is about over with, on June the 30th, folks, think again. They're just beginning. Just to take a look at some things that have taken place as well this month, WND.com is reporting that the latest inappropriate act turned Yosemite National Park, one of the dearest national monuments, into a debauched party to push their corrupt sexual agenda. And the park rangers, yes, they're under the guidance of the president, all too happy to help. The controversy ensued when a drag queen posted a video to Chinese-owned social media site TikTok showing a June 8th Pride Parade conducted by staffers of the National Park Service, whose solemn job is supposed to be taking care of our pristine parks, not pushing political agendas. In case you don't know, as a matter of fact, they say, hello, in case you don't know, gay people are literally taking over the national park system, the drag queen on the video, while dressed as an MPS park ranger, sporting a mustache, long auburn wig and miniskirt, and waving a small transgender and rainbow gay pride flag. The video shows dozens and dozens of park employees and park visitors waving gay flags and parading through the park in thrall to their sexual agenda. They say, as you can see, there are literal hundreds of Queer Yosemite employees, the drag queen says. We danced, we marched, we celebrated, and we got wet. I'm so proud of all the community organizers in the park system who are making safe space for queer people all year round. No planet, no pride, the drag queen added. Mother Nature is a lesbian. Goodbye. Well, the increasingly woke MPS also posted about this event in its Instagram account as well. Folks, it's being done with full knowledge. And then also we have reported, as we take it to our U.S. airbase, Ramstein, Germany, hosted a Pride-themed story hour for kids in the library on the base in celebration of Pride Month, according to Fox News. The event was named Reading with Pride, held June 15th with the official Facebook page of the base, posting photos of the event and of volunteers reading books to kids. It was held in celebration of Pride Month, and all the books that were read were reportedly focused on inclusion. The event took place a year after that same base was caught in a controversy over a planned drag queen story hour, scheduled in May of 22. The base had canceled the event after receiving major backlash from service members and parents. According to Military.com, a second drag show at this airbase, at the airbase bar, scheduled for early in June, this year canceled due to a new guidance from the Defense Department that prohibited drag shows on military bases. Friends, it's going very far here, too, because the Daily Caller is reporting that the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, has declared a state of sanctuary for parents of trans kids evading sex change bans. She signed legislation Sunday, making a New York a sanctuary state for transgender-identifying kids seeking to evade sex change bans in other states. The legislation amends existing family court to prohibit law enforcement or state agencies from cooperating with laws in certain states that ban or limit sex changes for minors. Yes, they see themselves as the birthplace of the modern movement for LGBTQ plus rights. New York is proud to defend and affirm our LGBTQ plus community, Hochul said. From Stonewall to marriage equality to gender, New Yorkers have been on the forefront of the fight for equal rights. Now, as other states target LGBTQ plus people with bigotry and fear-mongering, New York is fighting back. These new laws will enshrine our state as a beacon of hope, a safe haven for trans youth and their families, and ensure we continue to lead the nation on LGBTQ rights. Are you listening, New York? And friends, as has been reported in numerous media, this one is from Todd Starnes in Seattle. Naked men rode bicycles through the streets, exposing themselves to young children along the route. The Boy Scouts led off the parade in full uniform, waving Skittle-colored flags. They had the naked bike ride in Milwaukee last weekend. This Madison, Wisconsin, another place. Toronto, Canada, Bud Light proudly sponsored the City Gay Pride Parade. Yes, Bud Light, whose stock has been going way down. Their float featured a drag queen, and there are multiple reports of fully nude parade participants. Activists also carried a large banner that read, "Satan loves homosexuals." Folks, don't you know that? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." In New York City, lesbians shed their clothing, danced nude in a giant fountain in the middle of Washington Square. All of these things, folks, are promoted as family-friendly events. Children were at these events and full exposure before them. The New American also tells us that a federal judge permanently struck down last week an Arkansas law that was dubbed the Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. The legislation was the first ever to be passed in the United States to outlaw any gender-affirming medical treatment for persons under 18 years of age. Court says, no, we can't have that. These transition treatments for minors, they must go on. The ban is unconstitutional. And those of you listening in the Dallas, Texas area, this just came out from the Daily Signal. According to their article dated yesterday, a Walgreens in Dallas is quietly housing a transgender clinic where patients can go get referrals for transgender transition hormones like testosterone. Then they stroll out of the clinic into the pharmacy, get their prescriptions filled. Walgreens has sparked backlash from its customers for offering to dispense abortion drugs. But the revelation that Walgreens has housed Kind Clinic inside its Oak Lawn, Texas location is surprising. One local outlet described the partnership as significant, and it raises questions about how Walgreens is profiting from the close proximity of such a clinic. Neither Walgreens nor Kind Clinic would respond to requests for comment from the Daily Signal for the story. Walgreens similarly would not address how often it fills prescriptions for hormone medicine for gender-affirming care. Kind Clinic Dallas Oaklawn, it's a program of the LGBTQ plus nonprofit Texas Health Action, launched inside the Oaklawn Walgreens in early 2022. The clinic is one of several Kind Clinics in Texas. Mary Elizabeth Castle, Director of Government Relations at Texas Values, described Kind Clinics as the Planned Parenthoods of the gender transition business. A transgender clinic tucked away inside a Walgreens? Western Journal telling us that a former New Hampshire legislator who is reportedly the nation's first openly transgender state elected official has been arrested on child pornography charges, according to news reports. Stacey Marie Lofton, who was born Barry Charles Lofton, arrested on four counts of distributing sexually explicit images of children, the Daily Wire reported. Groves allegedly took nudeful images of children at the daycare, sent the photos to Lofton, with whom she was previously in an intimate relationship between May of 2022 and June of 2023, the news station reported. The outlet quoted U.S. Attorney Joshua Levy as saying Groves took pictures of the young children during bathroom breaks and diaper changes and then sent the photos to Lofton via text message. Prosecutors and court documents indicate that Grove and Lofton exchanged more than 2,500 text messages discussing and transferring explicit photos that Groves had taken of children while employed at the daycare. Folks, can you grasp what is happening across this nation? And on top of all of this, you may not realize this, as many of you off on summer vacations and summer plans and grilling and family reunions and everything else going on, that last week in the United States Capitol, both in the House and the Senate, the so-called Equality Act was reintroduced. Now, we're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about the Equality Act. I'll be giving you bill numbers and also phone numbers that you may contact your own legislators concerning these. But not only are we seeing this unfolding of the Equality Act, but friends, what I'm going to be sharing in these next minutes on Crosstalk ought to raise the level of consciousness of every individual across this nation to how depraved this nation has gone and the necessity for us to turn back to God, to repent, to get back on track with Him once again. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what's involved in being created in the image of God?
Chris, being in the image of God is more than just being a two-legged, two-armed creature. There is some sense in which God uses a human form to express His own nature, like the arm of the Lord, but God does not have a physical body. I suspect that the image of God deals with our spiritual nature, our appreciation for beauty and ability to love, and our ability to love and reject God, and of course, our eternal soul. A recent research project identified perhaps another aspect. It was shown that those people who love others and provide emotional support for others live longer themselves. These are godly qualities, and maybe that's part of being the image of God. If we live like that, it's beneficial. You see, Chris, even the way we act, it all goes back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act, the so-called Equality Act, has been reintroduced. Looking at MRCTV.org, Democrat public officials have reintroduced the Equality Act back into Congress after multiple failed attempts over the past decade to pass it into law. It was introduced, folks, last Wednesday. The Equality Act would amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and include gender identity and sexual orientation as categories protected from discrimination by federal law. And all these places where you see things like just the word sex, where you can't discriminate based on sex, they're expanding that to include sexual orientation, to include gender identity. It also emphasizes protecting trans youth from life-threatening hate crimes. Life-threatening hate crimes. As the Human Rights Campaign has declared, we are in a state of emergency characterized by expanding discrimination and increasing hate crimes, Senator Jeff Merkley said. LGBTQ plus Americans, and especially trans youth, are experiencing life-threatening environments. We have seen nearly 750 pieces of anti-LGBTQIA plus legislation introduced in state houses across the country, more than 500 of those since January of this year, National Center of Transgender Equality Policy Director Olivia Hunt added. And as we all know by now, most of them particularly target transgender and non-binary youth, with the most vicious attacks focusing on youth in particular. Now, when this was introduced last week, open lesbian Wisconsin State Senator Tammy Baldwin spoke at a press conference to introduce the Equality Act.
I am proud to be joined here by my colleagues and organizations that are committed to fighting for LGBTQ plus equality. So across the country, as we speak, violence is on the rise against the LGBTQ plus community. And it's only intensifying right now. In state legislatures across America, nearly 500 pieces of legislation have been introduced that target and harm members of the LGBTQ plus community, particularly trans children. In the majority of states, LGBTQ plus Americans live without fully inclusive non-discrimination laws and can still face discrimination simply because of who they are, who they love, or what their family looks like. No one should be denied an apartment, a job, federal aid, or anything else just because of who they are. And that's why I'm so proud to join all of my colleagues today in introducing the Equality Act to ban discrimination against members of the LGBTQ plus community. The fight for LGBTQ plus rights has been long, but we have made unmistakable progress in the fight towards true equality. Just a decade ago, passing marriage equality and the Respect for Marriage Act with a dozen Republican senators on our side would have been unthinkable. And last year, we defied political gravity and passed the Respect for Marriage Act into law. But I like to remind folks that progress cannot be mistaken for victory. We need to get the Equality Act across the finish line. The Equality Act signifies the best of who we are as Americans. If we're going to celebrate the ideals of liberty and freedom, we must have comprehensive nationwide protections for LGBTQ plus Americans. And I look forward to working with my colleagues to create a future where all Americans have the freedom of full equality.
Now, there are others that spoke there as well. But when she talks about this comprehensive nationwide protections, folks, when you understand where this is going, it is a direct target on the back of your pastor, your local church, your youth clubs, your schools, to anybody who would use wrong pronouns. All of these are inclusive of what she is meaning about, you know, the attacks that are happening. Matter of fact, California Representative Mark Takano proceeded to call the bill simple, labeled any opposition to it, any opposition to the so-called Equality Act, extremist and homophobic. He said, not only are trans Americans being denied the most basic human dignities of being called by the right name or allowed to use the bathroom, they're being denied their own existence. Meanwhile, the president of the Human Rights Campaign, Kelly Robinson, said, yes, this is a state of emergency. But what we are calling on Congress to do is to answer the state of emergency with a sense of urgency. Last week, and I've been watching, and the bill numbers, though they were introduced last Wednesday, they just recently received bill numbers. I've got them before me right now. In the Senate, it is S-5. It is called the Equality Act, so-called. There are 49 co-sponsors in the Senate right now, 46 Democrats, 3 independents. Not one Republican has signed on as a co-sponsor of the legislation. And friends, just looking through this document of, well, it is 20, we'll get it here, 20, make it 30 pages long, S-5. It goes all throughout and lays down all their findings. The discrimination prevents the full participation, talking about the discrimination happening now, prevents the full participation of LGBTQ people in society and disrupts free flow of commerce. Folks, where have you seen that happen? It is everywhere. The discredited practice known as conversion therapy, a form of discrimination that harms LGBTQ people by undermining individuals' sense of self-worth, increasing suicide ideation and substance abuse, exasperating family conflict and contributing to second-class status. No, there's no, they call it conversion therapy, but folks are talking about counseling and biblical counseling in regard to such legislation. Oh, no, they won't use the word Bible. But as you can see, as I'm going to point out just a little bit later, they're saying that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does not apply. They talk about discrimination by state and local governments on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity and employment, housing and public accommodations. And you know, by public accommodations, that means that your restroom in your church, in your whatever facility it may be, that if a man who wants to identify as a woman wants to go use that restroom, he has the ability, the authority to do so under this so-called Equality Act. That's what they're talking about, public accommodations and stadiums and arenas and schools and so forth. Individuals who are LGBTQ or are perceived to be LGBTQ have subjected by a history and pattern of persistent, widespread, and pervasive discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity by both private sector and federal, state, and local government actors, including in employment, housing, and public accommodations and programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. This discrimination inflicts a range of tangible and intangible harms, sometimes even including serious physical injury or death. They're talking about intangible harms. Folks, you know, all these microaggressions. There are those that are banning the use of the words mother and father. That's a microaggression. Many people are subjected to discrimination because of others' perceptions or beliefs. Folks, they're going after your very thoughts. Your very thoughts. Perceptions or beliefs regarding their sexual orientation. Even if these perceptions are incorrect, the identity imputed by others forms the basis of discrimination. This is outrageous. Your perceptions or beliefs regarding sexual, even if those perceptions are not right, even if they're incorrect, they form the basis of discrimination. Numerous provisions of federal law expressly, I'm reading directly from the legislation, folks. Numerous provisions of federal law expressly prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex, and federal courts and agencies have correctly interpreted these prohibitions on sex discrimination to include discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex stereotypes. Transgender people often encounter discrimination when credit checks or inquiries reveal a former name. They don't even want a credit check to show a former name. There are those trying to change not only the name on birth certificates, but what one's true biological gender is. They also complain and hear about the right to an impartial jury of one's peers. There's, however, an unfortunate and long-documented history in the United States of attorneys discriminating against LGBTQ individuals or those perceived to be LGBTQ in jury selection. And here's another thing. Although same-sex couples are 7 times more likely to foster or adopt than their different-sex counterparts, many child-placing agencies refuse to serve same-sex couples and LGBTQ individuals. Folks, see what they're coming after? Adoption agencies? Foster care agencies? This has resulted in a reduction of the pool of qualified and available homes for youth in the child welfare system who need placement on the temporary or permanent basis. It also sends a negative message about LGBTQ people to children and youth in the child welfare system about who is and who is not considered to be a fit parent. It's the purpose of this act to expand as well as clarify, confirm, and create greater consistency in the protections and remedies against discrimination on the basis of all covered characteristics and to provide guidance and notice to individuals, organizations, corporations, and agencies regarding their obligations under the law. That's right. They're going to clarify, confirm, and create greater consistency in the protections. The creation is going to be left in the eyes of the beholder, the ones who are putting this together. And so they cover things like public accommodations. I mean, they some places they go into great detail. Any establishment that provides a good service or program, including a store, shopping center, online retailer, or service provider, salon, you know, online retailers, many people work from their own homes as an online retailer. Does that subject their own homes to this? The salon, banks, gas stations, food banks, service or care centers, shelters, travel. Yes. Yeah. Battered woman shelters. You better have your doors open to a man who identifies as a woman. Travel agency, funeral parlors or establishments that provide health care, accounting or legal services. All throughout our statutes, they're going to insert, wherever the word sex is, that includes sexual orientation and gender identity. Oh, they got a section here on public education and employment and also unlawful employment practices. Strike the word sex, include sexual orientation and gender identity. That is all throughout the legislation. It is S5, the House version, it's H.R. 15. Get to that in just a moment. But they talk about the term gender identity means the gender-related identity, appearance, mannerisms, or other gender-related characteristics of an individual, regardless of the individual's designated sex at birth. Well, folks, our sex is not designated at birth. It's maybe identified at birth. Even before that, of course, ultrasound gives us that. But certainly that sex is determined at conception. But they also do away with sex stereotypes in so many different ways. Friends, I'm up against a break. I've got more to share on this. I'm going to give you some phone numbers here where you can reach out to your member of the Senate, to your members of the Senate, as well as the House, to share your views on it. And I've got some more stories as well. Even as marchers were saying, we're after you, we're coming for your children. We'll be right back.
When it comes to eternity, most people assume they will go to heaven thinking their good deeds will outweigh their bad and God will allow them entrance. At most funerals, people will console one another saying they are in a better place. But how do you know that? How do you know if you will be in a better place? In the book, Are You Going to a Better Place? Author Richard Schmidt presents how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you are on your way to heaven. See, after you die, there will be no negotiation with God. The scriptures provide the one way today that God's justice can be satisfied, guaranteeing that you will be in an eternal dwelling place with Him. One copy of this book is available for a donation of $10, 3 for $24, or 5 copies for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
Equality Act has been reintroduced, and last Wednesday we now have official bill numbers, both of these being introduced on June 21, 2023. It is S5. S5, that's the version in the Senate, 49 co-sponsors, 46 Democrats, 3 independents. No Republicans there. In the House, it's H.R. 15, 214 co-sponsors, every one of them representing the Democratic Party in doing so. Time is going to go quickly because I have more I need to get out today on the program, but I want to look at this Section 1107 in this this legislation on the so-called Equality Act. It says this: the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under a covered title or provide a basis for challenging the application or enforcement of a covered title. Religious Freedom Restoration Act, folks, will not apply. It's not going to apply to this. And I think that itself, that sentence alone, should give warning as to what is planned for the religious community. Friends, you can reach out to your senators. Your senators at the Senate switchboard, 202-224-3121. You have two senators. You can reach both of their offices through that number or go to senate.gov and get their direct numbers for your state. 202-224-3121. That's Senate 5, S5. There's also H.R. 15 in the House of Representatives. You can reach out to your House member at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And friends, this is going to just dominate every aspect of society. Now, we have seen what's going on just in the realm of sports. Now, recently, former University of Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines, this is from nationalreview.com, ripped into the NCAA during her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee last week, Wednesday. The very day that this was introduced, she's there testifying, accusing the organization, the NCAA, of violating the rights of women by allowing biological males to expose themselves in female locker rooms to accommodate transgender athletes. I'd like to play for you part of her testimony.
In addition to being forced to give up our awards and our titles and our opportunities, the NCAA forced me and my female swimmers to swim to share a locker room with Thomas, a 6'4", 22-year-old male equipped with and exposing male genitalia. Let me be clear about this. We were not forewarned we would be sharing a locker room. No one asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent. And I'll set the scene. A swimming locker room is not a place of modesty. You're undressing, you're fully exposed, and we were forced to take off our swimsuit in front of a man who was doing the exact same thing. If nothing else, I truly hope how you can see this is a violation of our right to privacy and how some of us have felt uncomfortable, embarrassed, and even traumatized by this experience. I know that I don't speak for every single person who competed against Leah Thomas, but I know I speak for many because I saw the tears. I saw the tears from the 9th and 17th place finishers who missed out on being named an All-American by one place. And I can attest to the extreme discomfort in the locker room when you, from these 18 to 22-year-old girls, when you turn around and there's male eyes watching in that same room. And I can attest to the whispers and the grumbles of anger and frustration from these girls who, just like myself, had worked our entire lives to get to this meet. And I can attest to the fact that around the country, these female athletes who opposed the inclusion of Leah Thomas in the women's divisions were threatened, intimidated, and emotionally blackmailed into silence and submission.
That was Riley Gaines last week, and part of her testimony there at Capitol Hill. And let me just say, you know, goodbye to women's sports if this Equality Act goes through. Goodbye to women's sports. Goodbye to your girls who have been working hard on titles and competition. The Washington Stand yesterday said that last week the UN's independent expert on sexual orientation and gender identity, Victor Madrigal Borlase, presented a report to the 53rd session of the UN Human Rights Council arguing that religious freedom is not compatible with equality for LGBT persons. Hear that? Religious freedom is not compatible with equality for LGBT persons. However, by reading the report, it appears that his understanding of compatibility means that long-held religious beliefs and traditions must be subservient to the LGBT ideology. The core idea of the report is deeply concerning, that religious communities and LGBT ideology would not come into conflict if only religious communities would interpret their own doctrine correctly. Todd Starnes reported the University of Colorado's Pride Office issued a statement saying that misgendering someone is an act of violence. Choosing to ignore or disrespect someone's pronouns is not only an act of oppression, but also be considered an act of violence, the guide stated. That declaration posted in a guide on pronoun usage and first exposed by Campus Reform reporters. Wrong pronoun usage? Folks, that's an act of violence. You just violated the Equality Act. That's a hate crime, folks. And to know what took place this last weekend, the beginning of the program, I shared some of this. But, folks, it's all about your kids coming for America's kids. It's all part of it. Now, we've played before the quote from a drag queen testifying before a committee, indicating that we're grooming the next generation. Dylan Panoff, in case you forget that, here's that clip.
But I'm here to let you know that this event is something that's going to be very beautiful. And for the children and the people that support it are going to realize that this is going to be the grooming of the next generation. We are trying to groom the next generation to not see the way that they just did.
Hear that? Grooming the next generation. He was promoting a drag queen story hour. Now, on Friday, this past Friday, LGBTQ activists proudly screamed, "We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children," at the New York's annual drag queen parade in Manhattan. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. Hundreds of drag queens and other pro-LGBT attendees marched through New York City's Tompkins Square Park, reports OANN.com. The march started off in New York City's Pride Weekend that commemorated the anniversary of the 1969 Stonewall Riots. They're coming for your children. They're coming for our nation's children. And friends, again, just 1 year ago, last July 1st, there was a message going out from the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. They released a video last July 1st proclaiming to the nation that they're going to convert your children. Just only a matter of time before the gay agenda comes home. That is, to your home.
As we celebrate Pride and the progress we've made over these past years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep him from disco, warn about San Francisco, make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children, we'll make them tolerant and fair.
Well, it goes on from there, ladies and gentlemen, we've heard enough. They're saying, oh, that's just satire, just tongue-in-cheek humor. Again, that was a San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. Just satire. But friends, we remember that satire, so-called, from Michael Swift, the gay revolutionary, read into the congressional record that has virtually come word-to-word true. The video belies the truth of a persistent agenda playing out daily in entertainment, pop culture, corporate America, public policy, politics, and education. Reports Family Policy Alliance. The song happily tells parents that regardless of the spiritual values children are taught at home, the LGBT movement has aims to unapologetically undermine those values in order to advance their cause. Again, friends, we bring to light the fact that Here I'm looking at LifeSiteNews.com. Newly released data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control reveals a record number of teens do not identify as heterosexual. A report from the National Organization in April, nearly one in four American teens now are identifying as LGBT in 2021. The data was gathered through the CDC Youth Risk Behavior Surveys conducted that year. Now, keep in mind that many of these surveys are given to students. My understanding, they're given in schools whose parents do not know about those surveys. The Epoch Times says the number of non-binary students in New Jersey's public schools rose by 4,218% in just 4 years. That's figures from the state's Department of Education. The Daily Caller telling us Olympia School District in Washington State refusing to let students opt out of LGBT pride curriculum and activities. A school representative stated on KTTH, the district offers pride-related lessons in schools as part of its journey toward gender-inclusive schools. The lessons are part of their educational standards. Students who skip lessons will be marked unexcused. The Olympia School District has no opt-out process for pride-related lessons as they are aligned with the standards that are required to be taught within our schools. OSD is committed to gender-inclusive schools, and we will follow the guidance of our governing agency, the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, told KTTH. Pride lessons and pride theme songs, books, transgender characters, gender-neutral pronouns, are all part of this. Daily Caller also telling us Department of Education has released an LGBTQ toolkit in June for schools and wider districts to create an inclusive environment, encouraging the creation of student clubs centered around gender and sexuality alliances. This toolkit for an inclusive and non-discriminatory school environments aims to provide school districts in wider areas with sample policies and practices that they can adopt to create a safe and supportive environment for LGBTQ students. Article goes on. I've run out of time to go further into that article. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy's administration filed three emergency lawsuits last Wednesday against several school districts that implemented policies requiring staff to notify parents if their child expresses the desire to change their gender identity. Middleton School District's policy would require teachers and school staff to notify parents when their children chooses to change their name or pronouns. But the lawsuit filed by the Attorney General against kindergarten through 12th grade said that this policy could irreparably harm transgender students, saying outing transgender, gender nonconforming, and non-binary students against their will poses serious mental health risk, threatens physical harm to students, including increased risk of suicide, and shirks the duty to create a safe and supportive learning environment for all. In New Jersey, we will not tolerate any action by schools that threaten the health and safety of our young people. Without question, the discriminatory policies passed by these boards of education, if allowed to go into effect, will harm our kids and pose severe risk to their safety. Friends, I've got materials to go on another hour, but I've got to stop here. I'm going to open our phone lines to get your reaction to this here today as the so-called Equality Act has been reintroduced. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Listen up, Americans. Right now, five states in the United States of America are embroiled in a battle for private property. And lest you say, I don't live in one of those five states, what do I care? Well, you should, because it's going to set legal precedent for the violation of your private property rights in one form or another. The stage is being set for this legally to become the law of the land. Case precedents. I'm talking about North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. Many farmers, fourth and fifth generation farmers and ranchers, are fighting a company that wants to put in a carbon capture pipeline. In fact, they're already entering onto their property, violating their private property rights, threatening eminent domain, and running through their crops with heavy machinery. The carbon capture pipeline in South Dakota and North Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. Check it out. Get informed.
Friends, I need to mention, in the state of Michigan, there's a hate speech bill that's been working its way through the system that would allow them to arrest you for words that cause mental anguish. HB 4474, that's the state of Michigan. And I should mention also where this is going, that there are now those sites that are promoting and postings for pedophiles, basically. Some people are child lovers. Get over it. Love has no age. Love is gender and age blind. There's a preacher who spoke up at a Seattle Pride this last Sunday, had his Bible taken from him. Pages were ripped out of the scriptures by angry people that were mad that he was there. We'll get your reaction here today. We'll begin in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Say, how much private money is pushing a lot of this behind the scenes? Do a program on this doctor that was just quoted and caught on tape, expounding on how much money is to be made in mutilating these children. Yeah. When you talk about the New Testament, where Paul writes about the mutilation. And if they're not making any money in Wisconsin on abortions anymore, take a look at how much money they're losing in mutilating children. So when you take a look at this clip that was caught with this doctor in a major hospital, was expounding to the hospital board mm-hmm. on how much money is to be made in mutilating these children, how much money is pushing behind the scenes to get these children moving in that direction. And here's one more thing, too. Being from Wisconsin in the winter, how many homosexuals want to get out there when it's 20 to 30 degrees below zero? When it's not so comfortable. So God's in nature has a way of taking care of this out of balance. Wait and see. Okay, and thanks a lot.
Okay, let's go to Greg in West Union, Ohio. You're on the air, Greg.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on the gay agenda. People are saying we're losing our country to the communists. No, we've already lost it. I don't know if we can get it back. But it's insane. I watched the thing on the news clip today that the gays were marching saying, we're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. We're yep. here, we're queer, we're not going away.
Yep, I just played the clip just moments ago.
Okay, I just turned the radio on, so I missed that clip.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where we're at in the world. And the reason we have a Second Amendment is...
Yeah, thank you for the comments here, Greg. We're going to stay on this issue. Shayla in Waukesha, you're on the air.
Hey, could you hear me well?
Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, so I am, you know, my generation, which is Gen Z, I'm 20, and I just see these kinds of things, and it's really disturbing. I have a one-year-old son, and I've just decided to homeschool him because I just see how the schools are pushing it and, you know, kind of doing these things in secret where the parents can't see it or where they won't, you know, be able to comment on it. It's very sneaky and, you know, they're, you know, sneaking it into just like the kids' lessons plans and
yes.
just the curriculum overall. Really disturbing.
It is. And I one of the articles I couldn't get into about the large number of children that are now talking about being binary, the number of those that are even a preschool age, because this indoctrination is happening so young that there are many preschoolers now that are now identifying as binary.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary because those kids can't, you know, really even make those decisions on their own without, you know, just the general pushing that,
right.
you know, the public. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Shayla, and commend you on your decision. Let's go to Michael in Dousman. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I remember back to your Thanksgiving caller there. You had a guest on that talked about the America that we had. And this is not that America. I loved that show, by the way. I listened to it many times. Mm. And I never thought that I would bring my kid into a world where I would be afraid for her safety by my own government. And it's to the point where I'm scared. Like, what do I do? And I have the option to leave the country. And that might just have to happen if somebody doesn't get into the office and put a stop to the people that are corrupting our nation and our children and calling. You hear me, and I hope you do.
Well, let me say this, Michael. Number one, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. This is a life of sinfulness that we see displayed. Romans 1 calls it out as being such. And I think of the prophets of old who called for people to repent and to turn to God. And that begins with the church. And certainly we need to do that. We need to boldly proclaim sin and salvation, repentance, salvation in Christ, and certainly to take a stand against these things. But I hate to say this, but sadly this is happening in many a nation around the world. Some are even more advanced than what the U.S. is as far as going down this pathway. But there are many that are still coming to this, and part of it is by the pressure from the U.S. State Department upon them as well. You want funds from us as a country, then you must conform to this lifestyle.
That's true.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Millie next, Milwaukee. You're on the air. Hello, Millie.
Hi. I want to know where God is in this picture. Children that are brought up to know God would not believe this. They would know who they are and who God made them. Where are the parents taking their children to church and teaching them? God has to be back in this picture. The people that make money on this are godless. They wouldn't be doing it either if they had God in their life.
Yes. Yeah.
I want everybody to pray and be bold, and get yourself out there and tell people they need to get to Christ.
We thank you so much for the call here. We do need to be bold, and certainly the issue is a spiritual one, and many, as you have pointed that out, it is a spiritual issue that is before us here today. And as Scripture tells us, even in 1 Corinthians, that such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, and one does not need to be trapped by this lifestyle, but there is hope and healing and forgiving found in Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm down to just 15 seconds left on the program, and I don't have time for further phone calls. I apologize to those on hold, but be in prayer for this nation. Be in prayer for it, such a time as this. Certainly, you can reach out to your senators on S5 and also H.R. 15. By the way, this is rather interesting. It was on Amazon this morning, and they have a T-shirt there that says there are more than two genders, and they've got the symbols here for multiple genders. But when you come to buy one, you have to click on men or women for the sizes. Unbelievable. Our time is gone here, friends, today. It's a spiritual need that we have. We need to turn. We need to repent to Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.